Moncrief on News Talk.
And you are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk. 087 1400 106 is our WhatsApp number. Our email address is afternoon@newstalk.com, or you can follow us on Twitter. Do you have a problem? Not anymore, because Mary McAvoy and Declan Buckley are here.
We're here.
To scrub the world free of problems.
Cosmore.
Yeah. 46-year-old male here. I broke up with my boyfriend 2 weeks ago after nearly a decade together. Last Saturday, 5 days after the breakup, I was out in town and I bumped into someone and we got chatting. He asked me out on a date. I said yes. I took his number and we've been texting over and back. When I told my friends, they told me that it's too soon to go on a date for both myself and out of respect for my ex. I don't see the issue here. We'd been on the verge of breaking up for a few months. I ended things and have no feelings for my ex. My sister told me it makes me look really bad and heartless if I move on too soon, but I think she's being dramatic. Should I hold off for a few weeks more before going out on the date, or should I not be concerned what my ex and others think of me? This is my first time being single as an out gay man, so I'm excited to get out there and not sit around crying. Wow.
He's a gay man now.
He's gay. He's a proud gay man.
I don't know if he's from that part of the country, done for running with
it. I mean, the fella's not dead. Like, I don't understand why you'd have to... I mean, maybe other people have some sense of how one should behave in these situations. But it's not like he's a widower or anything has decided to kind of start dating as soon as the last flipping bit of clay is on the coffin.
The imagery was perfect. Yeah, sorry,
exactly.
Exactly.
But that is to me. And I mean, I think that what other people think. Look, if you started worrying about what other people think, you'll never, ever do anything in your life. And I would say, go out, maybe keep it on the QT just to keep the people who are kind of annoying you about it away. Mm-hmm. But go out. Look, you never know what's going to happen in your life. So if there's something you enjoy and you want to do and it's not hurting anyone, I mean, no matter what you do, if your ex is disappointed in love, even if you wait a month or two or whatever, he's still going to be hurt. Yeah.
Decade together. Yeah, long time. I get the impression that this is a small town as well, because he said out in town. So it's kind of like everybody will know.
Yeah.
If he goes out with this fella to the one, if you go to the one local.
Maybe I'm just insensitive, but I don't see
that. Your notions of what's available there on the menu.
No disrespect to Clare Morris, which is a vibrant and healthy gay community.
And they live in Dublin. Just kidding, Mayo. I do agree with what you're saying. I see what you're saying. I kind of also do see it from the perspective of other people who want to police how people live their lives and want things to be nice. So they want everybody to be okay with each other. But as you point out, the ex, if it ended, acrimoniously or with great emotional upset for the ex, no amount of time or whatever is going to undo that. That's just it. It's like sometimes, you cauterize the wound really quickly and just let them get on with it. I think also there's an element of the reason why this guy wants to just keep moving on and not consider the feelings of his ex of 10 years is because he believes, either that, I don't want to phrase it as he's wasted enough time, but he believes that there's, the bright lights of the big city, there's something exciting about to happen from now. I wouldn't get too excited about that either. You're 40, you're over the hill now, as far as the gays are concerned. You're like an old man, you're like Santa.
But the thing is, too, he's also said it's his first outing as a,
as an out gay man.
So maybe it is he is dying to kind of just get out there and enjoy himself.
That's the thing. That's a really good, interesting point, because he's in a relationship for 10 years.
Yeah.
How he got into that relationship and what state or status he would have put on as his identity back then. Was he out? Was he living in a relationship, that was a kind of a... a relationship of convenience because it was an easy way to be gay without being out because he was in a relationship and he could manage it in that way. All that stuff, whatever, that's his own personal journey. He feels that there's more of a development to happen for his journey. He's excited to get out there and see what the world is like. And that's great and all that. But I would just counsel against his excitement being the driving force rather than the feelings of people around him and the thoughts that they have. Because, you know, your sister telling you that you're heartless and, you know, you look bad is your sister's opinion.
Yeah, sure.
Granted, but, you know, she's trying to say, you know, you can have both things. You can look like you're considerate and kind-hearted and get on with your life as well. If you do it, maybe on the down low or whatever.
Well, the thing is, like, is there not normally a period of mourning? Even if you're the person who initiated the breakup, but they were together for a decade, he says.
He said he had no feelings for him. Yeah, he said he's no feelings.
Oh, well, of course he had no feelings. He was down in whatever the name of the bar is 5 days later on the pull.
I mean, so you know, he just locked eyes at somebody at the butcher's. That's the thing, you know,
maybe he kind of didn't have confidence in himself as a gay man, you know, because he is 10 years in a relationship. And now the excitement of, oh my goodness, another man finds me attractive. This is great. I want to really try this one out.
And if you've been living as a repressed, you know, gay, if you've been in the closet, suddenly feeling that you can act on your emotions and the fact that there is interest out there is exciting. It's like a return to your kind of teenage vibe where you're kind of just running around, going out with doing lines with people and all that. Doing A line.
Doing A line. Yeah. Okay. Dump button. Probably too late now. Never mind. Two comments on that. I'm a 48-year-old straight guy, and my advice to the 46-year-old gay man who broke up: go for it, pal. Yeah. Play the field. Take no prisoners. Enjoy the freedom. Yeah. Someone else says, years ago, I went out with a guy who broke up with me, and he started dating again the week after. I remember being very hurt by it at the time and thought it was very disrespectful.
Right, but disrespectful, what does that get you, you know, down the local shop these days? Yes. I mean, that's just a feeling, it's a thought.
Yeah.
I've been disrespected by loads of people in my life.
Me too.
Still here.
Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, it's like, is there, because I know the answer is no, is there an actual correct amount of time between one relationship and another? You know, and for whose benefit is that? Because
The answer is probably when it feels right. In the case of this guy, 5 days is when it feels right. I mean, so,
you know. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. No, I said, just look, follow your heart, follow your, you know, I think because, as I said, none of us know what's going to happen. And we should.
Life is really short.
It's really short.
You're already old. So, you know.
Very good. Get over it. Okay. Stop it. He's a child.
Could get hit by a bus on the way home from the date.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're telling you to go for it. You'll be the talk of the town.
That's it.
I've been married to my husband for the last 10 years. When we met, I always knew he was going to be follically challenged, which was evident by his receding hairline when he was 20. As the years have moved on, my husband has tried everything to hide the fact that he's going bald. He'll refuse to get haircuts, do terrible comb-overs, and will even use products to make it look like the balding patches have hair. I think that's called spray paint, actually, is what that is. I think it's gotten to the stage where he needs to bite the bullet and just shave his head. I want him to know I will still find him as attractive, if not sexier, when he gets the job done. But the topic of his hair is a no-go area. Any ideas how to approach this? Some of the sexiest men in the world are bald. I want him to join the club.
Dun, 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 dun.
This is aging again.
Yeah, and I think people have to work through these things, regardless of what the part of aging is. People kind of work through it on their own, but there is a kind of a time when you just have to. I suppose let me start again. With aging, people try their best to pretend that they can stop it. They do little interventions, whether that's like ramming Botox in your face or dyeing your hair or whatever it is. And for a certain time in your aging, that might work. It might actually hold back the idea of time marching towards its ultimate conclusion. But then a point comes when, it, you know, the little interventions or the dyeing of the hair or whatever it is, and particularly, you know, if there's men involved, dyeing your hair too dark for your,
oh yes,
you know, it starts to look a little bit wrong. And you tell yourself that you're going to keep doing it, but you know you shouldn't be doing it because it looks fake and you just don't. You have to actually make that thing. That you have to come to terms with it. You have to come to terms with the fact that, you know, where you're going now is a one-way road towards acknowledging that, you know.
Yeah.
You know. And that's hard. And I don't think being told somebody by somebody else that it makes any easier. You know, okay, your girlfriend or wife telling you that, you know, I still think you're sexy or whatever is lovely. But it's not necessarily going to help somebody come to the realization for themselves that this is the moment where they're going to do something like that.
Yeah. I mean, I would have thought if she could, she obviously says I would still find him as sexy or whatever. So she's obviously still attracted to him. Mm-hmm. The comb overs and the hair dye doesn't seem to be turning her off. So then maybe she could find a nice gentle way to say, I was looking at Sean Moncrief there. He was on the telly the other day and I think he looks great. Would you not? Or start watching Jason Statham. Something like that, going and growling, you know, every time he comes up the thing. Look at that. Anyway, but if you say it in a nice way, and then he can either say no, it's not happening, and we carry on. But he will be thinking, and he'll be he'll, you know, because I could never understand when you see the comb over, and it is so obvious, and nobody's fooled by it. Why people still do it? I don't understand.
There's a middle ground. There's a moment. There's a moment in time when you think you're fooling everybody, and then there's a moment in time when you realise you're fooling nobody.
That's the key
and
point.
It's the bit in between.
Yeah,
it's the bit in between, and that bit in between, the only person you're fooling is yourself.
Yeah,
and it's that kind of thing where you got to find.
Yeah,
and the only person that can wake up to that is you, and being told that. It's like being told messages on ads that you need to do. You know, we're bombarded with messages about what we need to do to make ourselves presentable for, you know, society at large all of the time. And we know that some of that, most of that is just ridiculous, you know, commercial nonsense. But part of us believes that, yes, if I do this, I'm going to be amazing and the world will love me.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a tough one.
Yeah, I think she should sow the seed gently because, you know, I think you would think if she obviously loves him and still finds him attractive. So that's not going to be. I don't think she's going to get a kickback from him, because she's been nasty about it or anything. And I'm sure she'd find a loving way of saying it. But just even to sow the seed that in 6 months' time, we go, you know, you're right. You know.
Yeah.
It's expensive as well to be buying blinking things for your hair. You know.
Yeah, and the weird hairspray, the dust that. You know, you put
I know. As somebody telling me in RTE years ago that a well-known RTE or a well-known personality would appear in RTE would get the spray on the top of the head. Because
what is that? Excuse me, what are you talking about?
Because
if you sit in a TV studio and your hair is thinning, the light shines right through it, and you look balder than you even are. So they just basically spray paint the head.
Okay.
Because the lights,
I mean, that's starting to happen to me, and the lights
like a black hole on your head.
The lights are because your skin basically isn't made up, and it's bouncing back all the light. You're like, where is that light coming from? I've got a halo.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So,
I personally love, I love a bald head. Sorry, now. Excuse me. I'm not being, but I do, but I also love long hair. I love, you know, I love as long as it's not kind of.
Now it's unfortunate if your head is square. And you shave the hair. If you've an unfortunate shaped head, that's not
true.
Great.
It's not.
Now, most cases, that's not the case. But you see,
everybody has to kind of get used to the idea of what their head looks like anyway. Because, you know, if I was to shave my hair off today and look in the mirror, you know, I'd think of that as being really weird because it's not a look I'm used to. Mm. So again, everything's about just developing a comfort with.
I have a big dinge in my head.
A big
dinge in my head.
Did you have an accident?
No. Well, I don't know. I was probably dropped in my head as a baby. You know, that would explain an awful lot.
Yeah, a lot of comments on this. One texter says, that wife's a keeper. Fair play to her. like as if any other wife would just leave him.
Yeah.
Tell him exactly what you said in your message to the show. Maybe he's afraid you won't fancy him anymore. Reassure him. Somebody else says, what about not commenting on other people's appearances? We're constantly told not to do that. He should shave when he's ready. Wife should just shout up to him from the bedroom. Hey, Baldy, get up here and kiss me. They put on the Fast and the Furious, the one with the Rock. Vin Diesel and Jaden Statham. What a bunch of baldies. Then get Fast and Furious with your husband. If he doesn't get the hint, divorce him. Paddy says to the lady with the husband who's in follicle denial, instead of teardrops on your pillow, put Veet on his. He'll have shaved a lot before you get up. Change the gender. Husband wants wife to stop bad dye jobs. But that's not the question. She needs to put herself in her husband's shoes. Imagine how he is feeling if he's so self-conscious about it. Shaving is a big moment. A moment. Comb-overs are like toupees and fake tans. Most people who have them just feel they look better with them than without.
Which that's is also like...
They don't think they're fooling anyone.
But they are trying to give the impression of something that isn't real. And that's all I meant by that. But I do agree with the idea there that if people aren't ready to do something or if people choose to present themselves in a particular way, of course, that's fine. But look, so many couples, you know, one person in the couple will tell the other person that that shirt doesn't suit you. Wear this one. You look better that way. And if it's meant in a loving way and it's heard in a loving way, it's no problem. But if people feel that they're being attacked or whatever, then, you know, I think this is it.
But I don't think she will. She sounds like somebody who would be gentle a bit about it.
John says, when it comes to balding, if you're small and fat, shaving your head is a no-go. Only thin and very athletic men look good bald. It's a fact, says John. Well, it's a fact for me, John. Just tell that lad to go bald with dignity and stop acting the idiot. If he's not happy, tell him to get implants, says Martin.
Well, that's true too. You can get the old hair plugs. Yeah.
You see, also there's an argument. An argument in saying to him, you look worse now. I know you don't like going bald, but you're not fooling anyone. Now it looks silly. You'd be better to shave it off. I'd fancy you more if you shaved your hair off.
Yeah, but maybe it's not actually that bad.
It is.
I do wonder, it depends on how much hair is gone really and whether or not maybe this guy is actually either saving or considering actually getting some kind of a hair transplant.
Well, if that's the case, well, that's good. But
I've seen loads of people get great success.
Are they really expensive? I wonder.
Yeah.
Now, are you talking wigs now or the old where they take it off your back?
They take your hair out of the back of your head and you stick it in the front of your head. And
It's apparently very sore.
And you get very bad headaches and everything.
And you're like that for like months afterwards until it grows back.
And you have to be very careful about it. Yeah, there's a whole thing about it. But I've seen people do it and they've had results which they're happy with.
Which you don't think are very good.
No, that's not meant at all. I mean, they're happy with the results in the sense that, you know, they went through the process. Mm. They went through the sitting in the chair for hours while they...
They put in every hair.
Some of them do that. The other one, I think, is that they put them in by rows or whatever. It just depends on, you know, who's the surgeon and what the cost of it and all that kind of stuff. But then when you have it done, you're not allowed, you know, they're really vulnerable to kind of falling out again for ages. They have to take root like you've just planted flowers. Yeah. And then you can't cut it without being, you know, cut by a particular... You know, surgeon for a while. Until it grows and all that kind of stuff. So it's a big undertaking. But again, these people are doing it for the same reason, is that they're made feel, or they feel personally, that to go bald in our world is like an awful thing.
They say that bald people are more virile anyway, but bald men are more virile.
Definitely in this room.
There you go.
Five kids.
That's all he's saying.
I keep hearing about men having trouble with going bald. My son is the opposite. He's a great head of hair when he used to let it grow. He started shaving his head a few years ago and he looks so much older. It just doesn't suit him. His father says the same and so does his wife. I don't bring up the subject anymore, but I'd love him to realise that the bald head just doesn't suit him and that other men would love to have a good head of hair like his. Yeah, he could have it again if he let it grow. Well, that's a real mammy email.
That's a real mammy email.
I will in time. Don't worry. My boss has a tendency to freak out when stuff goes wrong in work. There is no approaching things in a right way with him. The man literally can't handle any sort of bad information. I hate him. And gosh, that's a bit harsh. I hate him. And thank God my day-to-day dealings with him are very little. This week, I've made a really bad mistake in work in which I got a client's order wrong and the expense is going to fall on my company. It was an honest mistake and something like this would normally never happen to me or my work. I need to come clean and tell him about this mistake, but I know he'll be in a bad mood for the rest of the week. So my question is, should I just walk into his office right now and tell him and deal with the wrath, or say nothing until Tuesday before I go on annual leave for a week, by which time he will have gotten over it? If I go for option B, there's every possibility he could find out in the meantime.
I think he has to take himself away into a corner and prepare himself for the onslaught of the boss.
Yeah.
Don't just march in. Get all your ducks in a row and be calm and just anticipate the explosion and just stay calm. And it, obviously firing you is not going to be, or that would be one of his issues. It's just the freaking out
yeah.
that he has a problem with. So if he can just stay really calm and just don't raise your voice, don't get back, don't try to defend yourself, just say, this is what happened, I'm very sorry, and let him freak out and then calmly walk out of the office. I think it's a better, I mean, you get it. If he's going to freak out, he's going to freak out.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? So, and the worst thing would be, there'd be a worse freak out if, as he says, the boss finds out before he goes on his annual leave if he hasn't told him.
Yeah.
So I think honesty is the best policy. But the point is how you get that across. And that is by sitting yourself down, rehearsing it and making sure that you don't go off in his face if he goes off in yours. That's what I would say.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it remained very calm.
It's obviously, the first thing I'll say is I think that it's kind of rotten that you have a boss whose managerial method
you
is so aggressive. It's like it's not nice to deal with that kind of stuff. But obviously as well, you know, I've had jobs where, you know, you're dealing with money or you're dealing with orders and you know, you can make money and you can lose money, and you obviously want to be making money because that's the objective. And if you don't make the money, you feel bad. But there's a kind of a line in the sand as to where, you know, how far your responsibility goes. It's your job responsibility. It's not your life responsibility. I think that by acting so kind of shady as to kind of sneak off on your holidays, that's turning your responsibilities at work into this kind of, you know, making them like a bigger thing than they need to be. The worker here needs to be able to draw a line around where that responsibility goes. I think from the workplace point of view, it's knowing that this kind of thing won't happen again is as far as that workplace can really go with that, short of firing them for just, you know, being an awful employee. And that's a kind of long process. I don't think that's going to happen. But I do think that not going to the boss and telling them in advance is kind of it's shooting yourself in the foot.
I think it is.
Get in there, just say it, and take it on the chin. I mean, at the end of the day, he's not going to start clattering you around the room. So.
Yeah, but I mean, I suppose what they're saying is they're going on annual leave on Tuesday, which means if they tell them today, so it's Friday and Monday, and a weekend of him thinking about it and then mulling it over, and then the boss comes in on Monday and he's like, God knows what.
Right. But see, the boss would have had time to calm down over the weekend as well.
Or get angrier if he's the freak out type.
Yeah, but I think freak out types freak out and then they stop. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I get the feeling he just goes, and then he's gone.
Yeah, but
gone,
but what's he freaking out about? Is he freaking about the thing that happened, or is he freaking about the idea that it could happen on his watch at your desk? Or is he just like an El Moody yoke.
Yeah.
And so the moody yoke is him. That's a him problem. The thing that you did is a you problem in your work responsibilities, but that only goes so far, because even at its worst, you can always decide to quit your job or he can decide to fire you. So there's that line there. But the bit where you kind of go, you're sitting around waiting to you know, tell him or not, that's making the work environment nonsense.
Yeah.
I would just go, right, you know.
With a cool head though.
Just because it's a cool head scenario. Yeah. It's work. It's not an emotional thing. Yeah. You just go, I did this. Yeah. This is what I, you know, it won't happen again, or whatever way you phrase the kind of apology. Yeah. Is it even an apology? It's like an error.
And usually, actually, you do find that if somebody does go off at you and you just become very still and you don't say anything at all, usually they blow themselves out and they don't actually know what to do because they're almost countering on a counter attack. Do you know what I mean? And it doesn't come. So they kind of go blah, 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 and then off they go.
Yeah. Is there anything to say? The person who wrote into us, before they go into the boss, they shave all their hair off. And then the boss is too busy staring at their bald face. to really react to the news. Okay, last quick one. My daughter's parenting style is driving me mad. She's read all these gentle parenting style, and to say it's a load of rubbish is an understatement. I can see her children are suffering as a result. She won't discipline them when they do something wrong. Instead, she sits them down and tries to reason with them. How can you reason with a 5 and a 7-year-old? As a result, her kids are so bold. They respect nothing or no one. These are my grandchildren. I will love them no matter what, but I can see them being ruined right before my eyes. How do people think something like this is acceptable? Do we just want a world where kids are running around and face no consequences for their action?
Yes. Oh, listen, this is not, you know, saying that this perspective from a grandparent is down to some, you know, what you're calling gentle parent. I think gentle parenting style is what grandparents have always accused their children of having, you know, over the millennia.
I have never had children, but I probably would be, I would have similar feelings, but I wouldn't, you know, go on.
Depends what they mean, though. I mean, like, you should be able to say no to a child and very firmly say no to a child.
But a Victorian
if it's screaming at them or belting them across the head, then, you know, that's...
But a Victorian would think that the way we treat kids is crazy. You know, we should be ripping them and sending them up chimneys and all that kind of stuff. So what I'm saying is that we've softening and we are becoming more gentle towards the way we treat children on a progressive basis for a long time. So there's always been an attitude from an older generation that kids are mollycoddled and all that kind of stuff. So from that point of view, I'd be kind of going, you know, cool your jets there now, Bridget. But at the same time, I do think there is an element of a child's development process. And like, I'm not a psychologist. I don't know where the right place is. But I do know that if you're too kind of, you know, free and easy with the way that a kid is allowed to be, either the kid reacts and develops in the, kind of the opposite way to the way
the boundaries,
that you want
it.
Or you end up just not, you know, you know.
Well, I do think kids, I, as I say, I'm not an expert. I don't, not particularly, I'd save one from a burning building, but I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't.
Eat a whole one.
I wouldn't eat a whole one at all. But what was I going to say? Yes, you have to have the boundaries. And also, if there's any kind of disrespect towards a person, you have to call them out on it. Because, you know, I actually did see a friend many, many years ago allow her child to kick her forcefully in the stomach and go, oh, no, come on, come on, come on. And I just went, don't kick your mother. Like, and she was going, oh, she's all right, she's all right. And I was going, no, I mean, that is wrong. You have to call out bad behaviour.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah. You don't have to go and, you know, give them a sort of a complex that, you know, for the rest of their lives about it. But I think kids do respond well to boundaries. In fact, they like boundaries. They like that sort of security.
But most of the time, boundaries are about reasoning. It's about this is this and no further shall you go. Do you understand that? And the kid goes, no. That's the kid reacting to the boundary. But the parent is setting the boundary. The parent, the grandparent, not realising what that's happening there is the parent's perspective. They need to just step away.
At the end of the day, isn't it none of their business? It's the parent's business.
It is the parent's business. That's the tricky part of it.
Now, obviously she's worried. She loves them. They're worried they'll grow up to get up to all sorts of things like Declan Buckley when he was a younger man.
I haven't got enough time.
Let's hope that's not the case. Declan and Mary, thank you both very much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.